Ricas, live and underway here on ESPN Plus. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebastian Salazar. Thrilled to be coming to you on this Tuesday, July 5th. Herc, I'd usually ask you, how was your weekend, your July 4th weekend? But I know how it was, because I called producer Beto last night to get some real work done. And what do I find is happening? There's a barbecue, there's a fiesta, there's a party at your house. The whole production crew is over there. And then when I come into town, crickets. Nothing's going on. I see how it is.
July 4th, you seem to come into town on weekdays. I got kids, man. I got kids. It wasn't a festive day when you come into town. It was, by the way, America's birthday, as my daughter likes to refer to it. So happy birthday, America.
So clearly then, when I go to L.A., I have no friends. We know Herc has a lot of friends. One of them, Hector Herrera. These two guys played together at Pachuca. Of course, Achi Achi has just made the big move to the Houston Dynamo. We're going to hear from him in just a little bit. We're also, speaking of Mexico, going to check in on what happened last night in Monterrey. Yes, with both the U.S. and Mexico at the CONCACAF W Championship. And Herc, speaking of CONCACAF, how about those U.S. U-20s looking good as they stormed through the field, finishing the job? But let's start the show with Tyler Adams. Big news for the U.S. midfielder. Looks like he's set for a move from RB Leipzig to Leeds, reuniting him with Jesse Marsh, who, of course, coached him not just at Leipzig, but New York Red Bulls as well, where he gave him his debut. The transfer fee, a reported $23 million. Adams leaving Leipzig after 4 years and over 100 appearances across all competitions. In his time in Germany, picked up a German Cup title that last season. And, of course, Adams, the second American player to join Leeds this transfer window. Brendan Aaronson as well. All right, Herc, so what are your expectations here for Tyler Adams, year one in the Premier League with Leeds United?
To play and be an important piece. Domenico Tedesco, the new coach at RB Leipzig, once Jesse Marsh was gone, he figured Tyler Adams should have gone with them. He's no longer in his plans. He wasn't playing towards the end. And when he was playing as a hybrid center back. Something that I saw in the Europa League, and I couldn't believe Tyler Adams was playing there. He just wasn't in his plan. So now you're going to a place that's, in theory, higher in level, the Premier League to the Bundesliga, but you're giving up Champions League to prove yourself. This is a player that is going to play with Jesse Marsh. But in playing so with Jesse Marsh, he needs to be an important cog, an important piece. He needs to be a leader. He needs to save Leeds. Because as we know, Leeds is going to be probably one of those teams that's going to be fighting for salvation. So yes, important player that has to play and has to be an important piece. Anything else would be a failure under Jesse Marsh.
Okay, you're dancing around it. Important player, big role. You know the word I want to hear. Is he going to be a starter? Because to me, that's the obvious one.
Of course he's going to be a starter. Hold on. That goes without saying. This move isn't happening for him to go sit on the bench. They're not going to pay $24 million for him to sit on the bench. He's going to play. And not only does he have to play, but they got to do well. Because you know what's going to happen. And Tyler Adams following around Jesse Marsh for quite a while. So you know the narrative that's going to come out.
I do. Look, we know that he's going to get opportunities under Marsh. If we look at kind of the last season at Leipzig, in the 13 games before Marsh gets fired, Adams gets 7 starts. After that, the rest of the way, and Marsh got fired in early December, he starts 5 games in total. So we know Jesse Marsh is going to give him those opportunities and probably give him a longer leash. However, in the Premier League, Herc, you know there's a short leash for anybody. And I know we're going to go down the American road in a little bit, but for anybody coming into a club like Leeds, yes,
absolutely,
they're going to fight for salvation. Yes, they may be against relegation last year. It's a big club with big pressures. So I think that's very safe to say here with Tyler Adams. But you mentioned the American angle and the risk potentially involved. There's risk in every move. Who do you think assumes more risk here? Is it Tyler Adams betting on Jesse Marsh to help kind of resuscitate his European career? Or is it the other way around? Marsh betting on not just Adams, but another American in the same window, which is his first window at Leeds.
Well, it's Jesse Marsh. It's Jesse Marsh because of who he replaces. He's replacing a very beloved figure in Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds. And he's doing so with the narrative of this Ted Lasso, the American coach coming into the English game, and the pundits, the media, and the circus that surrounds that. And then he brings in Brendan Aaronson. So it's not like, okay, he's bringing an American kid who he trusts, he knows. But then he's also bringing in Tyler Adams that he's had in Major League Soccer, that he was the assistant coach at Leipzig that brought in Tyler Adams to Leipzig. And now a player that he had himself while he was coaching at Leipzig as the first team coach. So yes, the narrative will be it's on Jesse Marsh, and if you don't succeed, it's these Americans. Now, I've been seeing plenty of people online upset with Craig Burley because he cracked a joke about blame the Americans, but there's some truth to that. The narrative exists because we see Brendan Aaronson, we see Tyler Adams, we see Jesse Marsh, and the 49ers organization that owns Leeds United. So is it low-hanging fruit? Yes, it is. Is it true? Yes, it is. And will it happen? Yes, it will happen. If things don't go well for them, they will start blaming the Americans.
So you talk about replacing a legend from the Jesse Marsh perspective. I think the same can be said here for Tyler Adams with Calvin Phillips, yep. Right? This is an English international who was a Leeds Academy product. Like, they love this guy. So I think there's like some risk there for Tyler Adams. Of course, much more risk on Jesse Marsh, right? He's really in his first window going all in on the Americans. Specifically with Adams, Leeds were linked to other dudes, Herc. Like, if Jesse Marsh wanted a safe play, he could have found it elsewhere. He could have found somebody else to play that. I think it says a lot of just how high he is on Tyler Adams, that he didn't need to pick an American. And even though it's a little more risk to him personally, he still bet on Tyler Adams. I think that tells you exactly what you need to know. And if I'm Tyler Adams, I'm expecting not just to start, but to succeed. Because you remember that interview we did, one of the first we did on this show. Remember, he got real kind of, not mad, but I think he was like bitter at the question when I asked him about position. There is no more question, Herc, to your point about him playing center back at Leipzig, about his position. Under Jesse Marsh, he's going to play his role. So if anywhere, it's got to be here, right? It has to be here for
It's going
Adams.
To be here, and he will play, and he will play in his role, but you have to keep in mind, Jesse Marsh isn't just looking for a defensive midfielder. He's looking for a leader. He's looking for a captain. That's the type of player that Tyler Adams is for Jesse Marsh.
Okay, so you like to go down this road of, like, the Americans are hated overseas and the British press is very tough. But sometimes there are some fans that really do like Jesse Marsh. Can I show you this example? I don't know if this is safe for TV. Did you see this on Twitter? Drippin', I don't know how we're going to convert this into drippin' or trippin'. This is a Leeds fan who promised to get a Jesse Marsh tattoo on his body. You can figure out what part. If Jesse Marsh kept Leeds up and the fan kept his promise, Herc. So how do we analyze this from a dripping or tripping sense?
This should have been, are you cool with it, right? Because, yeah. Oh, that's a dripping booty. Like, what am I going to say? You know, like, come on, man. Like, honestly, you know what? I'm going to give it dripping because this fan, he was a man of his word. He kept his word. He said, if he saves us, I am going to tattoo this. I didn't need that angle.
No, no. So I actually looked on this guy's Twitter, and he was like a huge Bielsa fan. So I think he was pretty heartbroken when Bielsa left. So to see him then get the Marsh tattoo there is a great look for Jesse Marsh. So see, maybe the press hasn't been converted, but some Leeds fans certainly have.
Well, you know, Leeds fans didn't invent this. Sounders fans did.
Oh.
If you know, you know.
No.
Matto.
Seattle invented everything soccer. Did they invent the under-20 CONCACAF championship? I'm sure, Herc, you're going to tell me that they did. On Sunday, the final, U.S. against Dominican Republic. Both teams already qualified, not just for the U-20 World Cup, but for the Olympics as well. And the U.S., Herc, they dominated. First goal came in the 17th minute. They run roughshod, 6-0 over Dominican Republic. Wow.
Wow. Like, this was the final. This wasn't group stage. This wasn't like any regular old game. This was the final of the tournament, and it was 6-0. Could have been worse. Like, what do you want me to say here, Seb?
Congratulations. I want you to say congratulations. To Mikey Varis and his team, the under-20s, doing it big. Their third straight time that the U.S. has won the under-20 CONCACAF championship. So, USMNT Twitter reacting on Sunday night. Hey, we won the U-20. Sir, is it something, nothing, or everything?
Well, it's not nothing. I mean, you just won the third straight U-20 tournament here in CONCACAF, so it's got to be something, right? But it's also not everything because you've done it before, and what has it gotten you? Not much. But it's the way they do it that to me means that it's between something and everything. I mean, literally, they just ran through teams, dominated. I mean, they scored 31 goals for, 2 against. Both goals against were against Canada in the group stage. This team averaged 4.42 goals per game. They ran through the competition. There was nobody even close to them. I mean, the team that was supposed to be there with the Mexico lost to Guatemala, who lost to the Dominican Republic, who they dominated in the final by 6 goals, and it could have been worse. It's not the fact that they won, it's how they won.
Right. Yeah. Like these tournaments, especially when you look over the past years, the stars of like a U20 CONCACAF tournament don't end up being always, and very rarely we should say, the stars of the national team. They're two-week tournaments featuring teenagers, right? Anything can happen. The fact it's three straight, I will give you, is at least something. If I were a real fan, right, and I wanted to get fanatical about it, I would say everything. Because to your point, have you ever seen a U.S. team dominate CONCACAF like that? And I'm not just talking about the numbers, Herc. I'm talking about the how. Like, the way that they played was very satisfying, and the way they dominated the key games. The final, it's 3-0 basically by the 40th minute. The semifinal, it's 3-0 by the 40th minute. And the quarterfinal, which is, you know, a must-win game, it's 5 minutes in when Paxton Aaronson scores. They were killer, and damn, did they look good doing it.
Yeah, and they did it against teams like the home team, Honduras, in front of a packed crowd. I mean, it really is the way they did it, Seb. Nothing seemed to faze these kids, and they are kids. And congrats to them, because this is an amazing accomplishment.
Yes, one of the accomplishments, of course, they punch a ticket to the 2024 Olympics, which we know will be held in Paris. Now, men's soccer at the Olympics, you get 3 overage players you can add to your roster. So, Herc, we gave you some homework here. You got the entire pool of overage U.S. men's national team players. Who you taking with those 3 spots?
Before I start, let me just say I was going through the names and I realized the type of roster that the U.S. youth national team, because it's a youth tournament, it's a U23 tournament for the Olympics, will have. I mean, Gaga Salonina, Bello, you know, could be on one side. You could have Reynolds or Joe Scally on the other side.
You're talking about guys that didn't even play in this last tournament.
Guys that didn't even play.
Yeah.
Yunus Musa, Giovanni Reyna, Ricardo Pepi, and Matthew Hoppe. Like, those guys still have the... So it got me thinking, like, holy, what? Obed Varga, a bunch of different things. All right. So this is what I went with, okay? First player, producer, can I get Chris Richards? Come on down. Chris Richards is going to be one of your overage players for this Olympic team. Now, you need an experienced center back, but I still want a younger center back. I want a younger center back that can play the way that this team has been showing us they play. Building out of the back, very good in transition, defending, long passes, vision, all that stuff. So Chris Richards will be the first one. Weston McKennie, I went down as well because Weston McKennie's a winner, and I want winners on my team. And it's a guy that's a good two-way player that's going to get goals and assists, and he's a set pieces. He is a threat. Okay, a lot of that midfield has been said. Like, honestly, that sixth position could be tricky, but Johnny Cardoso could be there. You could have somebody else emerge in that time. I think it could be well spent with Weston McKennie there, that experience. And then, listen, if this is the Olympics, I want Captain America. I want Christian Pulisic. Now, this is all theoretical, assuming everybody gets released, because we know how these things go. He could be on a team like Chelsea or Real Madrid or whatever the case may be, Juventus, and they can say, I'm not going to risk this player in a U23 tournament. Somehow, miraculously, all the Brazilian players get released, but other teams do not, okay? If this is the case, I want Christian Pulisic, I want Captain America, and I want him there with Giovanni Reyna. I want him there with Ricardo Pepi, Matthew Hoppe. I want him there with Yunus Musa. I want him there with Bello. I want him there with Richards. I want him there with, what's the name of this kid? Brandon Craig, the Philadelphia Union kid? Like, a center back taking set pieces? I was like, what? And then I saw him take a set piece. Okay, all right, I see you. Paxton Aaronson. I want to see him there with this type of player, Giovanni Reyna. I am not into youth tournaments. I happen to look down upon them, especially because a lot of my Mexican colleagues presume them so much. But this U23 Olympic team that the U.S. can field, whew.
I know. People are going to be expecting the podium in Paris, mark my words. I'm with you on Pulisic. Captain America has to be there. It's the Olympics, huge platform. Weston McKennie's not a bad shout. I think one thing we learned about this team, and it's not going to be just the team that we saw down at the CONCACAF U20s. They're very technical. So a guy like Weston McKennie, some legs in there. You add a Yunus Musa, who's obviously age eligible. I would throw in, usually there's a goalie, right? I feel like always there's a goalie pick for the overage. Could I suggest, I think Zach Steffen's going to end up being the starter in Qatar. A guy like Matt Turner, I think he's an awesome ambassador. And I think he's a guy who would definitely deserve one big tournament at least as a starter.
Good around, all around good guy. I'm not going to deny that.
Slanina.
I mean, right now he's on the verge of, we're hearing Chelsea. So give him a few years. Like, I don't know. I, I just think you've got to give a player like that, if he already has that pedigree, give him the chance to prove himself at the international level.
One of the names you mentioned for Paris, Aronson. Not Brendan Aronson, Paxton Aronson, who takes home both the Golden Boot and Golden Ball from this under 20 CONCACAF championship, Herc. People want to see him on the senior national team. Is he ready for all that?
No, not yet. Relax. He's still trying to get into that, you know, Philly lineup for good and stay in that lineup for good. But man, he's an exciting player. Brendan, his brother, when we interviewed him in Football America, said that Paxton is the better player. Paxton is the more technical player. All right, listen, Golden Ball, Golden Boot. To my understanding, this is the first time an American's ever received that U20 honor. He's only 18 years old, and there's a reason that we're hearing so much chatter about Europe, and it's Red Bull Salzburg. He's following in the footsteps of his brother. That's what I'm hearing.
Man, Union Academy, but really the Aronson family. What are they doing? What is happening there? And they just keep producing such good players. There he is, Paxton Aronson, another one to watch.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hector Herrera just made a big money move from Atletico Madrid to MLS, and he's with us now on the show. Hector, bienvenido. Un placer tenerte aquí con nosotros en Fútbol Américas.
Muchas gracias.
All right, so as we do on this show, I'll ask the questions in English. Herc will spin them back in Spanish. After Hector responds, I'll give you a quick translation. We'll move on to the next question. Herc, I guess a good place to start here is why. I want to know why Houston, but really I'm curious as to why now. Why in his career now, when Hector tells us he's kind of at his best moment to make the move from Europe to MLS.
Pregunta Sebastián, no solamente por qué Houston, por qué Major League Soccer, pero por qué en este momento, cuando tú has dicho que estás en tu mejor momento de tu carrera.
¿Por qué Houston? Porque creo que fue el equipo que me ha presentado el mejor proyecto, el mejor futuro para mí, para mi familia. Porque Estados Unidos, porque creo que la liga está creciendo muchísimo. Están viniendo muchos jugadores de mucha calidad. Los equipos están creciendo mucho. Porque creo que en este momento es cuando puedo ofrecer lo mejor de mí para el equipo, para la liga, y no dentro de unos años, ¿no? Cuando a lo mejor no me pueda mover.
Por eso. All right, so interesting thoughts there from Hector. He says the Dynamo were the team that really presented him the best project, not just footballing, but for his future, for his family's future. As far as MLS, he says it's a league of growth. We've heard that a lot. Not just big players coming in, but quality players. And he says that right now is a time when he can offer his best. Perhaps in a few years, he might not be able to move around quite as well. He's obviously joining Herc Dynamo from Atletico de Madrid. I wonder if we could look back on his time at Atleti. Obviously, he gets the league title, kind of how he feels about that era of his career.
Que si nos puedes explicar un poco de tu tiempo en Atleti, obviamente el título de Liga, ¿cómo sentiste esa experiencia de tu vida en relación a lo que has vivido en otras partes?
No, creo que fue muy, muy positivo, ¿no? En cuanto a experiencias, a lo mejor no vividas, ¿no? Por ejemplo, yo venía de ser referente, capitán, jugar todos los partidos en el Oporto. Estaba acostumbrado a una cosa y llegar ahí y ver que no iba a tener a lo mejor el mismo protagonismo que tenía en Porto. El manejar esas situaciones, el estar fuerte mentalmente, me ayudó muchísimo. El crecer como jugador, el crecer como persona, junto a compañeros de muchísima calidad. Para mí creo que fue una experiencia súper bonita. A lo mejor no tuve o no jugué lo que yo esperaba, pero la verdad es que dentro del vestuario me sentía como si jugara y todos, la verdad que excelentes personas, más allá de que son unos cracks como jugadores. Creo que parte importante de del éxito del Atlético de Madrid es el vestidor, ¿no? La unión que hay dentro del grupo, el buen rollo que hay. Y después eso se muestra en la cancha, ¿no? Fue una experiencia, la verdad que súper, súper bonita, que estoy muy, muy contento de poder haber vivido. Y obviamente cerrado con un título en la Liga Española, que para mí es la mejor del mundo, pues mejor.
He says overall it was a very positive experience with Atletico, but for different reasons, right? Experiences maybe he hadn't had in the past. He was the captain at Porto. He didn't have the same role at Atleti, but to manage that mentally was a challenge, something that made him grow as a footballer, as well as playing next to high-quality players like he did there. He acknowledges he didn't play as much as expected, but he says within the locker room, he really felt good with the team. Very happy to have done the experience, and he especially points out that league title. Herc, up next, I wonder how much the fact that this is a World Cup year went into his decision to make the jump, to leave Atleti, to come to Houston, because obviously we're only 5 months from World Cup, and the next few months are going to be critical to his form heading into Qatar.
Bueno, la pregunta aquí es qué tan factor fue el hecho de que es año mundialista en esta decisión a venir a Major League Soccer. Estamos a 5 meses del mundial. Estos próximos meses son críticos en tu formación a lo que es este próximo mundial. Entonces, ¿qué tan factor fue eso para ti hacer movimiento de Atlético, una liga como la Liga, a Major League Soccer?
No, es verdad que a nivel selección es lo más importante, ¿no? Nos preparamos durante 4 años para el mundial y, a ver, yo creo que en la vida del jugador hay decisiones difíciles y creo que yo he tomado la mejor decisión para mí, para mi familia. Siempre lo dije, si me hubiese quedado en el Atlético de Madrid como los últimos meses que no jugaba tanto, la gente me dice, ¿por qué te quedaste en el Atlético de Madrid si no juegas y vas a llegar con poco ritmo al Mundial, ¿no? Aquí es un nuevo equipo, tengo la oportunidad de competir por un lugar, de poder llegar con mejor ritmo al Mundial. Faltan pocos meses, tampoco es que va a afectar mucho si juego poco. Creo que lo más importante es llegar con buen ritmo, pero creo que he tomado la decisión para mi futuro, para mi familia, y ha sido, creo que, la mejor decisión.
So it says at the national team level, you prep, you know, 4 years for the World Cup. In a player's career, there's tough decisions. He said this was the best decision for him and his family. And look, he says if he would have stayed and he wouldn't have been playing, people would have criticized him there. Like, why'd you stay in a World Cup year if you're not going to get minutes? He says the most important thing is to arrive at the World Cup in a good rhythm. He doesn't think a few months will really affect that. I wonder what he might say to the critics, because we know every time a Mexican player comes back, to Liga MX, MLS, Chicharito, Carlos Vela, they seem to get criticized, especially by the Mexican press. Does he have a response, Herc, for what those critics might say?
¿Qué le puedes decir a los críticos, a tal vez la prensa o esa gente allá afuera que dice que llegas a una liga menor o que siempre es un futbolista cuando va de la selección mexicana a una liga prominente en lo que es Europa, a Major League Soccer, como Javier Hernández, Carlos Vela, siempre hay esas críticas? ¿Qué le puedes decir a la gente? ¿Cómo respondes eso?
Ay, creo que la crítica va a haber siempre, ¿no? Nosotros, tú fuiste jugador, sabes que estamos expuestos a críticas, así estés en tu mejor momento, estés haciendo goles, te van a criticar porque fallaste una y la otra no, o cosas así. ¿Qué le puedo decir? Que uno como jugador toma sus decisiones por lo que lo dije, ¿no? Por tu futuro, porque crees que es lo mejor para ti, para tu familia. La gente está en su derecho de criticar. Y yo creo que no hay nada que decir, ¿no? Es estar tranquilo contigo mismo, con las cosas que hagas para ti, para tu familia. Y el resto, tomar lo bueno y dejar pasar lo malo, ¿no?
And there you hear at the end, take the good, let the bad go. He says criticism comes with the job. It's always there. As a player, you got to take the decisions that are best for you, your family, and your future. Nada que decir. Nothing to say. I think that all says it. So we heard a little bit about why Houston. What about the how Houston won him over? Because I was reading today in The Athletic, something Herc about a big bottle of wine.
Dice que la pregunta aquí es, ok, nos has dicho el por qué Houston, pero ¿cómo es que te ganó Houston? Leímos un reportaje de The Athletic que estabas con el gerente en tu casa y sacaron una botella de vino, platicaron bien del proyecto. Dinos el por qué, ¿cómo llegó este proceso con Houston?
A ver, yo creo que fue mi representante el primero que empezó a hablar con ellos. Yo tenía otras opciones de venir a MLS, opciones en Europa. La opción número uno era Atlético. ¿Por qué Houston? Porque todo lo que me han hecho, todo lo que me han hecho sentir desde que llegué, ellos me lo prometieron. Porque me hace mucha ilusión que ellos quieran ser un equipo importante, competitivo, que quiera ganar cosas. Yo se los dejé claro que yo quería venir, pero quería venir a ganar, no quería venir a no ser un equipo protagonista. Y ellos creo que tienen la misma visión, el mismo foco que yo tengo, ¿no? Entonces creo que eso fue muy importante. Yo lo dije el otro día cuando conocí a Pat, el ver la buena persona que es, lo que transmitió de lo que quería el dueño, lo que quería Paulo, la gente que está detrás de él. Yo siempre lo he dicho que para mí lo más importante es la sinceridad, el ser honesto, el ser frontal en lo que quieres, en lo que te transmitan. Y ellos me mostraron muchísimo. Él vino a Madrid, se quedó una semana en Madrid. Estuvimos reunidos una o dos veces y para mí creo que eso fue suficiente, ¿no? El conocer el tipo de persona que había en el equipo. Sabía que estaba llegando a un equipo familiar que va a ser todo honesto y todo transparente.
Hector tells us it was his agent that actually had the first contact with Houston. He had other options, not just in Europe, but he says also in MLS. And initially, his number one option was to stay at Atleti. But he said Houston really delivered on their promises. He made it clear to them he wants to win, and they seem to share that same vision. He didn't want to come to a team that was going to be an afterthought. And he really points out Pat Onstad and his sincerity is kind of a key part of this deal. He is the captain, Herc, of the Mexican national team. Let's get into that. I wonder kind of how he feels about the state of the team here. We are only 5 months to the World Cup. Qualifying is in the bag, ticket punch. How does he feel about where the team is right now?
Héctor, eres el capitán de la selección mexicana. Danos tus pensamientos del estado de la selección mexicana hoy en día a 5 meses del Mundial. ¿Qué ves? ¿Cómo se sienten?
Soy parte del grupo de los capitanes. El número es Andrés. Yo creo que la selección, el Tata Martino, todos estamos conscientes de lo que viene por delante para nosotros. Por eso lo dije anteriormente, la idea o el mayor pensamiento de nosotros es poder llegar con mejor ritmo, en mejor momento al Mundial, para así poder hacer un excelente Mundial, ¿no? El objetivo es ese, la forma de jugar está clara, tenemos 4 años jugando con el Tata, pueden salir mejor las cosas o peor, pero creo que la idea es clarísima, dependerá del momento que llegue cada jugador para que en conjunto podamos hacer un gran papel.
So he corrected me, first of all, I said he is not the captain, he's one of the captains of the Mexican national team, but very conscious of kind of what's ahead. He said before, the biggest focus right now is to get there playing better so they can make a good World Cup. He says they've been under Tata for 4 years, so the ideas are very clear. Now it depends on each player kind of taking advantage of the next few months and getting to the World Cup in a good moment. He's one of the few players in Mexico that we can ask this next question to, just about making that jump, you know, and at a relatively young age from Mexico to Europe. We see it in a lot of examples, or maybe We don't see it in enough examples, Herc. But I'm also thinking of a guy like Marcelo Flores, who is in that like young player who's up and coming, and kind of how we judge that process. I wonder what he thinks of all that.
Sé que, bueno, Héctor, eres de los pocos futbolistas que se ha ido a Europa a una edad joven, y tienes esa experiencia en Europa ya por mucho tiempo con selección y con lo que es tu club. ¿Que cómo ves jugadores de repente como Marcelo Flores? ¿Cómo puedes medir ese proceso en lo que ves de Marcelo y ese tiempo que tiene él, no solamente en Europa, pero con la selección mexicana?
A ver, creo que son jugadores que tienen mucho futuro, ¿no?, por delante, y que si trabajan, que si siguen haciendo las cosas bien, van a poder ser referentes en la selección mexicana, ¿no? Por algo está en el Arsenal, por algo está siendo convocado en la selección mayor, siendo tan joven, ¿no? Yo creo que jugadores como Marcelo y otros que vienen por detrás tienen muchísimo talento y muchísimo futuro. Entonces, creo que tienen que tener una oportunidad en el fútbol europeo para que así el nivel del fútbol mexicano de la selección siga creciendo, ¿no? Si te das cuenta, hoy en día tenemos muy pocos mexicanos en Europa, y muy poco, y la mayoría de ellos son grandes, no son jóvenes, ¿no? Creo que debemos de enfocarnos más en sacar jugadores mexicanos hacia Europa, pero jóvenes que puedan darle, o que son el futuro de la selección, ¿no?, del fútbol mexicano. Y un claro ejemplo son Marcelo, Diego, Vega, Charlie, Sebas, todos esos jugadores que vienen atrás con un muy buen futuro, pero bueno, creo que tienen que trabajar muy fuerte porque para poder conseguir ese objetivo, ¿no?, ser los referentes en el futuro de la selección.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So he says there's lots of young players with promise. They'll be stars in the Mexican national team soon. For a guy like Marcelo Flores, that's why he's on Arsenal. That's why he's getting called in at such a young age. He says there's lots of players with talent, but they need the opportunities to go to Europe. And that'll help not just the players, but the Mexican national team as well. He points out there's very few Mexicans in Europe today, and the ones that are there are really veterans. So he thinks there should be a focus on getting more exports from Mexico out of Europe. All right, we only have time for one last question. I got to get to the real root of what's important here. You guys used to be teammates, okay, at Pachuca, Hercules. I need you to get me a good story from your time together jugando juntos en Pachuca. A ver, what can you get out of Héctor? I want to know what you were like. I want to know what you were like as a teammate. Have him spill some dirt.
Sebastián Salazar, mi co-conductor aquí, quiere saber tu tiempo como compañero mío en Pachuca. ¿Qué te acuerdas de mí, de Pachuca? Es lo que quiere sacar algo. Me quiere matar.
A ver, algo interesante.
Me quiere matar, interesante.
Todo lo que pueda sacar es bueno. Personalmente, estoy muy agradecido con Hércules porque cuando él estuvo en Pachuca yo era muy joven, no había debutado ni nada. Y él siempre era del típico, no veterano, pero de los jugadores grandes, que era buena onda con los jóvenes. Él ya jugaba para la selección, era un jugador importante en el club. El pierna de tubo, le decíamos nosotros. Se pasaba chutando desde media cancha al gol. La verdad que yo personalmente estoy muy agradecido con él porque me ayudó muchísimo cuando estuve ahí, cuando viajamos al Mundial de Clubes. No tengo palabras más que agradecimiento y cosas buenas para decir de él.
There you go, Sebi, take that.
A ver, puro PR ahí, puro PR. He says it's when they were both at Pachuca, Hector still hadn't made his debut. You know, Herc was a veteran who was really, really good to the younger players. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. He said he was big time already on the national team. Herc, what was the nickname there that they gave you?
Iron leg. Pierna de tubo. That is like a, it's like saying you hit the ball hard.
Mm-hmm. But personally, he says you helped him a lot, especially traveling to the Club World Cup. He says he only has words of thanks. So maybe in down the road, we'll get a little dirt on Hercules Gomez. Hector, muchísimas gracias. Buena suerte en Houston.
Muchas gracias.
El tiempo.
Un abrazo, hermano.
Te abrazo. Hermano, saludos. Abrazo a la familia.
Chao.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Old friends reunited here on Football Americas. The big question is Hector Herrera the answer to Houston's problems? There we see where they rank and some of the big stats across Major League Soccer. All right, Herc, we had Achache for what, about 15 minutes there. Any big takeaways?
What, how are you going to remember me, Seb, when somebody asks you, like, down the road?
I will say he was well-intentioned. Semi-intelligent, some might say.
Ah, the payback. People don't know that what that's about, yeah. But
check
that's
the YouTube
you being
channel.
An ardilla. Yeah, all right. No, obviously, listen, you know, knowing Hector Herrera, he's always a positive character, very, very mentally strong, thinking things will go well, wanting to do well. But it's interesting seeing him in this stage of his career. Talking about Europe and how maybe Atletico didn't get the best out of him. Maybe he didn't give them the best because he wasn't on the field as much. But very proud of what he did with Porto. And talking about, and I'm not sure he's seen Houston play over the years, but wanting to win. That to me was massive. And that goes, it should speak very highly of Houston GM Pat Onstad, of convincing them that Houston can be a team that is going to be built to win.
The most surprising thing I heard was when he kind of acknowledged that his number one option was staying at Atleti.
Yeah.
Which, to your point about Pat Onstad, I think, hey, we got to give the Houston Dynamo and that front office, that ownership, a lot of credit. Because if this is a player who was leaning Atleti, they closed that gap and then eventually got him to sign. So I think they get a lot of credit
it's
there.
That bottle of wine.
That bottle of wine. As reported in The Athletic, let's give credit where it's due. It was Paul Tenori there. By the way, we have an extended version of our chat with Hector Herrera. It'll be in the podcast, so download the podcast. Of course, that available over in the on the website at the ESPN FC feed. Hector Herrera's debut, when's it going to be? This weekend, you don't have to wait long. Saturday, Houston against FC Dallas. What a time to debut! The Texas Derby, El Capitan on the line, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN+. Do not miss it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Elsewhere in MLS, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. Now, I thought the good was going to be Tati Castellanos hitting 50. So this is not a Sebi forcing this into the rundown.
Oh, come
DC
on.
United scored five times, or count them five times, in a 5-3 win over Orlando. Our new DP, Taxi Fontas, yeah, he got a hat trick.
Okay, it's not the amount of goals. It's that they snapped a six-game winless streak in league play. That's the important thing here. Their customers, they're frequent flyers of the good, the bad, and the ugly. They're just on the latter part. But now DC United, congrats to them. By the way, the producer and I were actually watching this game. We thought Orlando was going to come back and pull it off.
Of course you did. Of course you did. I'm sure you were just waiting for it, smiling, hoping for my heartbreak.
Oh, come on.
I should note, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, DC United is still tied for last in the Eastern Conference. But Herc, guess what?
Huh?
Games in hand, baby. Games
That's
in
right.
hand.
Call yourself a taxi. You can be playoff bound.
Dude, 9 goals and 3 assists for Taxi in 10 games. The bad, Toronto. Oh, well, they lost to an undermanned Seattle. That's part of the bad. But the really bad is after the game, Carlos Salcedo was tweeting about this play, Herc. He's incredulous that he got a yellow card. What do you think?
I'm going to look that word up. But I don't think this was a yellow card. I think he got all ball. I actually am with them. But I may be in the minority here because he put out a survey and the responses were pretty funny.
Yeah, Raul Jimenez there, you can see. Yeah, straight red, no doubt they translated that from Spanish. Great stuff, of course. All of this is kind of wrapped around a bigger story, which is Salcedo's status and his future at Toronto. Bob Bradley talked about it after this game. Let's hear what the head coach had to say.
Well, with Carlos back in the 11, is that the assumption that everything's okay with his personal life?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to speak about the details. I mentioned that, you know, on the family side, he has had some concerns with family health. Okay, that's all I want to say. And that has, we've given him then the chance to make sure that things are right at home, and that's hard. You know, it's hard when there's that going on, and Carlos is a family man. And so, you know, I've said we support him in those ways.
Okay, Herc, we got reports, multiple reports that TFC are shopping Salcedo, not just around MLS, around Liga MX as well. How do you think this plays out?
I think Salcedo leaves. I think Bob Bradley's got just a moral code about him. Like, he's incapable of trying to mince words or trying to be gray. Mm-hmm. It's very black or white with them. And you can tell right there it's a personal issue that Carlos Salcedo has at home. Now, when it comes to family, when it comes to kids, when it comes to their health or somebody in your family's health, you do what you have to do for them. And this seems like a situation where maybe the soccer part from the beginning just didn't fit. And maybe they're realizing that, or maybe he's not happy, or he's preoccupied mentally with other things going on in his family life. But this is coming to a head, and he's going to be no short of suitors out, whether it's Major League Soccer or Liga MX. So
where's the bigger market for him, you think?
Liga MX.
Okay.
Yeah, I think sooner rather than later, we're going to see an exit towards Liga MX.
Carlos Salcedo, man, he's just 28 years old, right? He's been through so much in his career. It's like wow, but he is only 28.
Yeah.
It feels like for a center back especially, there should still be a time to turn it around. Let's keep talking about Toronto FC here because they've been very, very busy. Have you been following Twitter for the last 45 minutes, couple hours?
Yeah.
Let's start with the breaking news from Fabrizio Romano. He tweeted that Toronto was trading Alejandro Pozuelo, of course, their designated player, to Inter Miami. TFC in return would be getting $150,000 of allocation money. That was reported by our Jeff Carlisle. Shortly after those two things were reported, Taylor Twellman tweeted that TFC were going to sign 28-year-old Federico Bernardeschi on a free transfer from Juventus. Of course, Bernardeschi, a European champion with Italy as of last summer. Herc, what do you think of all this? And does it finally make TFC a real MLS Cup contender down the stretch if they get Bernardeschi? Come on.
6 months
come on,
left
jump on the bandwagon.
In the Alejandro Pozuelo contract, and Inter pulls what I think is a fabulous move for a MLS proven player with still a lot to offer for $150 and funny money. I think that's Chris Henderson doing some Garth Lagerway stuff right there, thinking next level. Good on them. Bernardeschi is an interesting player because he's only 28 years old. European champion with Italy. He gets called up all the time. But maybe his most productive years were 2016, 2017, around there, when he had double-digit goals for Fiorentina at Juve. He's not really had over 4 goals or close to that in quite some time. In fact, Weston McKennie was more productive on the goal front and assist front than Bernardeschi for the amount of time that they spent together. So it's an interesting move, but maybe a drop in level will give this man the form that he desperately needs That will help TFC. And listen, if there's one thing I've learned about Bob Bradley is he's not shy when it comes to pulling the trigger and making moves. It doesn't matter if you're winning, he will make a move. Now, TFC is not winning, so you're damn well sure he's going to make moves. He did an LAFC with players like Aron Simon, who scored the first goal in their franchise history, was their captain. He got shipped off. You look at players like Tyler Miller, who holds every statistical record that the goalkeeper can hold at LAFC. He's gone. You look at other players like Walker Zimmerman, who was a defender of the year winner, he's gone. So he's not going to be shy about trying to move players on to get what he wants. This is more of that. And TFC is in a rebuilding year, or I should say stage.
Wait a second. Do you remember at the beginning of the season when you got mad at me because I made different MLS Cup champion picks on different shows? One of those picks was Toronto FC.
Yeah.
Bernardeschi Insigne, I'm just saying. In MLS, you don't need much to sneak into the playoffs.
You want
to
double down on that?
Into the playoffs,
you
want to
double down on that?
Can I buy another month or so before I throw down on that one? All right, enough trade talk, transfer talk. Let's move to the ugly, because there is something very ugly, something that is very much brewing here between MLS and the Seattle Sounders. MLS has reportedly rejected the Sounders' request to wear their CONCACAF Champions League winner's patch for the rest of the season. Our friends over at Sounder at Heart have done some digging. They couldn't get a clear answer out of MLS, and Hercules Gomez is among many who are big mad about this, Herc. What say you?
This is stupid. This is ridiculous. This is MLS doing more of what they do. In your miserable history in the CONCACAF Champions League, you've never won this competition. Mm. You've been the little brother to Liga MX for the entirety of this competition, this format. And finally, you get a team who wins it. And what are you going to do instead of showcasing, instead of celebrating? You're going to limit them. And why? Nobody knows. They don't know. I don't know. We don't know because you won't tell them. But in your history, you've done some stupid, ridiculous things like singular stars, like the elimination of those championship stars on these jerseys, like saying the MLS Cup winner for the next year will play with a silver ball. But God forbid that Seattle wants to put a patch on their jersey and wear it every single game to remind people that the champions of North America, of CONCACAF, are the Seattle Sounders. You're going to sit here and say, nope, sorry, can't do. But what's worse, won't say why. Just have to accept it? Nah.
It's literally the thing the league has been chasing for the last decade. And now that they have it, you're not going to let the team celebrate it? Well, they are going to let them celebrate it once. And you know who they're going to wear it against, Herc? Portland Timbers.
That hurts.
That, folks, that's how you build rivalry. Speaking of rivalry, did you know it's rivalry week across MLS, Herc? Ooh, we got some tasty matchups coming up for the folks at home. Friday night, especially in the Eastern Conference. You got Philly, who's putting together another ho-hum, quiet season, just second place in the standings. Don't look now. Against, yes, my beloved DC United down there in 13.
They're rivals?
That kicks off at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's a kind of a rivalry. Really, DC and New York Red Bulls, more of a rivalry for me, but I'm old. And then El Tráfico, Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Who knows who's going to debut LAFC against the LA Galaxy on ESPN, ESPN Deportes. Herc, you calling this one or what?
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
Yes,
actually, three-man booth. You're going to see me there with Alejandro Pareja and our good man, Richard Mendez.
What a moment. A three-man booth fitting of El Tráfico.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, to the CONCACAF W Championships down in Monterrey. U.S. Women's National Team taking on Haiti. Alex Morgan getting the breakthrough early on. Herc, you love that finish.
I do love that finish. That is a very sneaky, very intuitive finish. And this is even better for me. Look at that. Boom. I thought she was slowing down at the national team level.
Mm-mm. 7 minutes after scoring the first one, Alex Morgan adds a second. And just like that, the U.S., who had been a little bit vulnerable in that first half, were in control of the game. Speaking of the vulnerability, here's a play. Emily Fox called for the penalty. And Haiti will get an opportunity from the spot. No doubt about that, right, Herc?
Last-ditch defending can't do that, but oh, no.
Rose Borgella from the spot, slams it off the post. Haiti missing a golden opportunity.
Yeah, everything could have changed there. Off the post, misses it, but got a second bite of the apple, just couldn't get the correct touch.
Oh, I got to get your opinion on this. Late first half, Borjales, by the way, the same player who missed the penalty, goes into Kelly O'Hara here and gets a red card. But wait a second, Herc. VAR is going to say, you know what, why don't you check that out? And after a review, it's a yellow. What?
Yeah, the fact that VAR came in here and then the referee herself went and checked and said, yeah, don't worry about being raked across the side of the body. It wasn't enough for me is very interesting.
Late in the second half, the U.S. finally gets their third. It comes from Midge Purse.
Yeah, Midge Purse with tons of time here. She really, like, look at this. She gets a chance to get herself right, take a touch, and then finish it.
Purse, the Silver Spring, Maryland native, with third goal as the U.S. wins. All right, Herc, let's get into our big takeaways from this match. I'll go first here, because I will be honest. I can't really believe I'm going to say this. My biggest concern coming into this tournament was the U.S. attack. Right. And I know that sounds crazy. You got Mallory Pugh, Sophia Smith, Alex Morgan. You're starting front three. They're the top three scorers in the NWSL. But I feel like, and I mentioned this on the U.S. broadcast the other day, there is a little bit of a pattern. That they weren't clinical against Colombia, at least in stretches. There's Czech Republic in the She Believes Cup where they get shut out. They get shut out against South Korea last fall in a friendly, and that's not even mentioning 3 out of 6 shutouts at the Olympics, okay? And yet, for all of that, the player that solves all of those problems in 20 minutes is Alex Morgan. I'll remind you, Herc, remember when we had the debate when Katarina Macario was still healthy about who should be the number 9? You said Macario, and right. Fair. I said Alex Morgan because, you know, you can trust her in those situations. She proved that. Dude, I come out of this game really worried about the U.S. defense. This Haiti team is ranked 60th in the world. Say what you will about the FIFA rankings. They really hurt the United States. They should have scored on that penalty. They could have scored on a set piece. They could have scored on another one-on-one. This team was very, very dangerous. And the U.S. will get away with it here in CONCACAF. But they, I don't think, will get away with it next summer at the World Cup when it really matters. So this is a big concern for me, especially because the area of most concern is the one area you don't want, and that's the center of defense. Becky Sauerbrunn and Alana Cook, that pairing just didn't seem to have chemistry. The response, and this is where I want your player's perspective, it's the first game of the tournament, right? So we should allow the expectation to be that they'll build into this?
It should be that they should build into it, but shaky, vulnerable defense was nowhere near my list of worries heading into this tournament. I mean, the worries were generation of goals, quality chances, was the nines, who will be the 9? Who will put the ball in the back of the net? Can they produce goals? Can they be that dominant team that you've always seen in this region? And now we're talking about shaky, vulnerable defense. We're talking about getting players, letting players in behind them, last-ditch efforts, silly mistakes like the penalty kick. A penalty kick that wasn't made, but if it goes in, how that can change the complexion of the game and how a young team can respond to that. A lot more questions than answers right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Next game for the U.S. will be against Jamaica. In case you missed it from this one, though, cool moment after the match with Alex Morgan. You know, we usually have a segment on the show, we have in the past. Jersey swap or not. Morgan swapping here with the Haitian player. I think every time I see like the jersey swap after a game, I always think like the reverence that other women's national team players have for the U.S. women. You always see it here. Remember even in the World Cup when the U.S. beat Thailand but 13-0? We still saw people trying to get jerseys off these players.
Yeah, I could only speak to what I've experienced as a player, but it's like when you play against Messi, you play against Cristiano, like, can I get your jersey? I'm going to swap jerseys with Cristiano Ronaldo right now. I'm going to swap jerseys with Ronaldinho right now. That's what Alex Morgan is. That's what Megan Rapinoe, that's what these players are to the rest of players in the world.
You mentioned Megan Rapinoe. Have you seen that she's in the news? And not necessarily for soccer. She will be presented, Herc, with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I did not misspeak there as I usually do. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the nation's highest civilian honor. She's going to get it Thursday at the White House, directly from the president, Joe Biden. She's going to be the first soccer player to receive the honor, and she's one of 17 people, Herc, who will get the honor on Thursday. Among them, Simone Biles, Denzel Washington. So you get an idea just how big a deal this is.
I mean, look at the notable athletes who have been honored. Those are some huge names in the sport. And Megan Rapinoe is going to be there representing U.S. soccer, representing all soccer across the land here in the United States. That's insane.
Yep. Now, Herc, as a result of this, of course, she'll be at the White House in Washington, D.C. on the 7th, means she won't be in Monterrey for the U.S. game against Jamaica. Obviously, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you figure, but it's also a huge World Cup and Olympic qualifier. Are you cool with it?
Yeah, I'm cool. There are some things that transcend sport. I mean, what Megan Rapinoe is today, and you've mentioned it about Megan Rapinoe, what she means to the younger players in the U.S. women's national team. Well, think about what she means to just people in the United States, or the political activist that she is, what she's done for equality and women's rights. Forget about the sport. Just think about that for a second. There are things that transcend sports. I'm okay with her missing a game versus Jamaica. She'll be there after. I think they'll be fine without her. They can manage for a second. But this is a huge honor.
You're cool with it. Vlatko Andonovski came out and said, you know, he's cool with it. Hey, you got to go when the White House calls. Can I tell you what? I'm not cool with it. But I'm not mad at Megan Rapinoe. I'm not mad at Megan Rapinoe.
Well,
I'm
mad at the White House.
I'm mad at the White House. Yes. Yes, you could give this honor to Megan Rapinoe any day this year, or really any year, right? It's a lifetime award. It doesn't have to be now. Let me ask this. If it was a pro baseball player, if this is an NFL player, would they expect them to come to in a playoff game? Would they expect them to miss that? Do you think?
Hold on, but you're thinking sports. I mean, did you say Denzel? Sorry, Denzel. Megan Rapinoe can't show up that day. So guess what? Not that day, Denzel. Sorry. I mean, you got to accommodate so many different people. And if this wasn't, is this a non-issue for the player herself, the recipient of the award, Megan Rapinoe, for the Federation, because we've not heard anything from Cindy Farlow-Cohen, and for Vlatko, if it's a non-issue for them, Sebi Salazar's mad at the White House.
I'm mad at the White House. As a D.C. resident, I'm sure I'm sure I have plenty more to yell about in the coming days. But congratulations to Megan Rapinoe. It is a great honor. She'll be missed, of course, Thursday against Jamaica. Speaking of Jamaica, Herc, they played Mexico in the nightcap at El Volcan. Huge game in Group A, and Jamaica off to a fast start. Bunny Shaw in the 8th minute.
Oh, Bunny Shaw. Julie Foudy warned us about Bunny Shaw. She did, and there she is.
Mexico had their chances, Herc. This probably the best one. Ordóñez header off the post.
I don't know how Ordóñez couldn't get that on frame to go in. And then right here, oh, it's a huge save.
Huge save. Mexico really, really starting to pour forward, creating opportunity after opportunity. But when the goalie for Jamaica wasn't making the big saves, the defenders in front of her were.
Yeah, uh-oh. Montero.
Havana Salon with a chance to make it 2-0 Jamaica, and skies it. So a little home field advantage there, maybe helping Mexico momentarily stay in it. Another chance for Jamaica here to really put things on ice. Jody Brown can't finish, pushes it wide, and Mexico down 1-0, still alive. Into the second half, probably one of their best chances, but really the opportunities, the finishing was nowhere to be found. Jamaica, same could be said about them. Bunny Shaw, for sure the second.
Oh.
No. Mexico saved by the post, but only saved so much. 82nd minute, Mexico pumping the ball into the box. Corner kick here, Ovalle, well-driven ball, and that header up and over the bar, the last of the good chances for Mexico as they fall in the first game, 1-0 against Jamaica. All right, Herc, time for calm, or is it time for an alarm, specifically a fracaso alarm?
Alarm. Monica Vergara has some explaining to do. Montero Bernal, the two center back pairings, the pairing, have never played together, decides to experiment in this game. You've got players like Licha Cervantes, probably your best goal scorer, Katy Martinez, who don't start the game. Katy Martinez doesn't even enter the game. Licha Cervantes comes on with like 20 to go. It's a case where you lose your first game ever on Mexican soil to the Jamaican national team. Quite frankly, you talk about the missed chances for Mexico. Jamaica just had as many, if not more, quality chances. They underestimated Jamaica. And for underestimating Jamaica, you lose the first game. Now you are behind the eight ball with Haiti and the U.S. women's national team up next in what you were supposed to be one of the favorites to advance. And now that's all in jeopardy.
You said they didn't use Katy Killer. We've also been talking about Charlene Corral a lot on this show. She's not on that list. And remember what we said. If they failed to qualify, leaving Corral out would come back to haunt Vergara, the manager. It's interesting, her, because I watched this game and I felt like there was a Mexico team under pressure. And I was thinking, you know, why? It's pressure of their own making, Herc. Vergara came out and said 2 days before the tournament, you're going to see a Mexico like you've never seen before. Clearly, this team wasn't up for it. They were disappointing. You know what else was really disappointing, Herc? And I have to point this out. The attendance at El Volcán. For all that we've seen, that city support Tigres, the women's team. You know what the attendance was last night? 5,300-something. And, Herc, that's what they announced. That's what they announced. Yeah. That's nothing. How do we explain that?
No, you can't explain that because we've been hearing how great Monterrey is and we're going to see crowds of 40,000 plus. I know it's a weakened opponent on paper. Maybe they were expecting that for the U.S. women's national team versus them. But this is still an opponent. It's still your home team. This is still home soil. And it's specifically put in Monterrey because they wanted to showcase what Rayadas, what Tigres Femenil, what they've done, how good they've been, the support that they've had. But that's not translated at the international level.
Yeah. Any way you slice it, it's a catastrophic result. And listen here. Watch out for Haiti. Haiti can beat Mexico the way that Mexico played last night and the way that Haiti played last night. And if they do, Mexico could be looking at missing out on the World Cup entirely. Remember, the top two get an automatic spot at the next World Cup. Third place in these groups goes to the Intercontinental Playoff, which will not be easy. But fourth place means you are done. Could you imagine a fracasote if Mexico at home were to go out in this tournament? Still time to turn it around.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Herc, what a weekend to start the Liga MX campaign. America, Pumas, and Chivas all tied. America against Atlas, Pumas against Cholos, Chivas against Bravos. Other big results, Cruz Azul 3-2 winners over your beloved Tigres. And how about the comeback from Santos, 4-3 against Rayados? Did I miss any other big results there?
We're not the one. Rayados scores three goals on the road, and they choke it away. Santos Laguna, that's what they are strong, el TSM, and you don't lose to Rayados. You don't lose to Rayados. They know that.
Yes. Rogelio Funes Mori, at least back on the score sheet. I knew you were going to love that result. Not only is it a Santos comeback, it's Rayados, who you have been saying are heading for trouble, struggling right from the get-go. I mentioned Chivas, so let's talk a little bit about Chivas, because as we know, Herc, they are in the market for a number 9. Horrible news. You guys talked about it last week on the show with Mao. JJ Macias out for the season with a torn ACL. So that means Chivas is looking for replacements. Where are they looking? Club America? That's right. Chivas reportedly want Henry Martin. Herc, let's start at this from a very basic level. Are you cool with it? The idea that Chivas would be doing business with their arch rival, Club America.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Listen, times have changed, okay? And it's also the type of player that you're negotiating for. You're not negotiating for one of the best players in America's existence, or America's not negotiating with
an
one of the
idol,
best.
Right.
Yes. It's not Cuauhtémoc Blanco that Chivas is looking for. It's Henry Martin, who has a player, Martinez, number 202, youth player, 20 years of age, was ahead of him and Federico Viñas this weekend. So he's not going to play. Tan Ortiz doesn't want him there. This isn't a player who's scoring a plethora of goals per season. I think his average is around 3 or 4 a season. It's not that great. So, yes, I've got no issue with this. This is more a symptom of the realistic market that Chivas has out for them and that they have afforded to him.
So, it sounds like there's a certain level where you would not be cool with this happening, a certain level of player. It's just that Henry Martin is not quite that level of player, and I would agree with you there. I think there's, you know, as much risk. I don't know where the risk really is for Chivas here. They need a number 9.
Right.
It's a limited talent pool, as you say. Here's a guy who's a national teamer, if nothing else. I think the risk here is more for America, right? If Henry Martin goes and he starts scoring goals and Cabecita doesn't, those are maybe two big ifs, you let the wrong guy go, right? And you let him go to a rival. I think the risk is much more with America. Maybe I'm seeing that through
Well, see, it's funny because you say America, I say Henry Martin, because America, they've got a youth player starting over Federico Viñas and Henry Martin. And when that youth player came out, number 202, by the way, when he came out, it was Federico Viñas who went in. And then you have Cabecita Rodriguez, who's probably going to play in as a nine anyways. So he's really down that depth chart. Now, the risk for me is Henry Martin, because you go from a team that's, let's face it, used to fighting for something, used to...
Ah, but he's got to play. He wants minutes ahead of the World Cup, no?
I mean...
You just said he's not going to play at America.
What happens if he's playing and he's not scoring goals at Chivas? Do you think that's still going to be the case for him to get called up for the Mexican national team?
I don't know. Right, pick between two evils, not playing and not scoring at America, or playing and not scoring at Chivas.
When he does play a little, he gets his occasional goal with America. So I'm just saying, for him, he goes from World Cup, but also not fighting for something if you go to Chivas. Chivas is a perennial team that circles around the 8th, 9th place in Liga MX. They're not a team that constantly fights for titles.
Hey, real quick, Herc, let's give some options for what Chivas might be able to do beyond Henry Martin, although we will include him as well. What about Brandon Vasquez of FC Cincinnati? I like that one. Eduardo Aguirre of Santos. Both those players have been linked to Chivas. Herc, of those three, who you taking?
Let me go by process of elimination, okay? Henry Martin, you've got the baggage of an America player, and he's probably going to cost you a pretty penny.
Which you just said didn't matter.
Hold on. There are some fans who that might matter, too. And he's also going to cost you a pretty penny in the transfer and salary, okay? Plus, he's also not the huge, most biggest guarantee when it comes to scoring goals. You've got Eduardo Aguirre, El Mudo Aguirre, who happens to be a very good player, undervalued player, but he's not that constant goal scorer, and also reminds people a lot of Ronaldo Cisneros, who came from Santos to Chivas and didn't really explode, didn't translate, who's in Atlanta right now. It's Brandon Vasquez, if you think about this. Brandon Vasquez has a ton of intangibles, size, strength, mobility with that size and strength, good link-up play, a very, very good forward. In and around the box, 8 goals, 4 assists. He's unselfish, not only at trying to link up and provide for other players, but he's honest in that effort on both sides of the ball. And he's also not going to cost Chivas a pretty penny, a pretty peso. This is a player that I think now he will have to renounce the U.S. men's national team and those aspirations. But this is a player that makes sense for Chivas because it's out of the blue. It's one of these players that they've gotten and has produced well for them in the past. Kind of comes out of nowhere, like a Carlos Salcedo from Major League Soccer to Chivas that explodes on Chivas.
See, I think this would be the most intriguing, the most interesting option. I don't know if it's the best, but I would love to see Brandon Vasquez make that jump from FC Cincinnati to Chivas. You know, all the crossover talk that we would get would be brilliant there. Elsewhere, Herc, in Liga MX. See what's happening between Dani Alves and Piojo Herrera? Dani Alves linked all over Liga MX, but specifically to Tigres. Now, he's 39 years old. He's out of contract at Barcelona, but he did play over 1,000 minutes for them in all competitions last season. By the way, he's still a Brazilian international, yes. And yet, despite all that, Miguel Herrera just doesn't really seem all that interested. Let's listen.
Yo lo que trato es de rejuvenecer mi plantel y no, quien no hubiera quisiera tener a Dani Alves en el momento cuando estaba en el Barcelona. Hoy en día traer un jugador de esa edad me parece que es más por el nombre y por lo que significaría mediáticamente que por lo que nos puede ayudar dentro de la cancha, sin dejar de pensar que es un gran jugador, ¿no? Por ahí van a decir, no, Miguel no quería a Dani Alves, no. O sea, yo quiero a Dani Alves, el que juega con Pep Guardiola, ese es, en esa edad es extraordinario, hoy con... La edad que tiene, pues ya es más bombazo de nombre que el tiempo que nos pueda ayudar mediáticamente y por supuesto va a jugar a lo mejor un torneo muy bueno. Pues después tengo que volver a pensar en seguir viendo quién vendría en ese lugar.
All right, Herc, Dani Alves did not take this laying down. There you can read or pretty much make out his tweet saying, well, taking a shot, let's put it that way. At Piojo Herrera. Look at this guy. All right, so clearly shots fired here, Herc. Who are you siding with?
All right, any team would love Dani Alves because of what he's represented, the name he is, and the character he is, and the ability to bring in a player like that to your organization would make you better. Yes, by osmosis, yes. But you need to understand right now Miguel Herrera and Tigres. This is why I'm siding with Miguel Herrera and Tigres. They need A generational shift, a change. You look at players like Nahuel Guzman, Hugo Ayala, Carioca, André Pierre Gignac. I mean, they're one of the older rosters in Mexican football. They're a team that's won everything, but those players, a majority of them, are no longer in their prime. And he says so himself. He's like, I got to get younger. I can't think about getting older. Maybe the pure name would bring me something for a year. But the reality of him building something here isn't likely. I'm with Miguel Herrera on this one, though. I love me some Dani Alves.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just the Dani Alves, we should point out, that played for Pep Guardiola many, many moons ago. This guy, as I said, still a Brazilian international. 5 appearances this year, 2022, for Brazil, trying to, you know, get another spot at another World Cup. Like, you're a Brazilian international. I think somewhere in Liga MX, Cirque, there should be interest. Maybe it's not Tigres. Maybe another club like America, where, by the way, he's been linked.
There's a reason that's being linked with Tigres. Who could afford him?
Okay. Okay, there it is, right. America, how could I forget? Have no
money. They blew everything
money.
On Cabecita.
speaking of Barcelona and Dani Alves, did you see this? Pumas is going to play Barcelona. When is it? August 7th in the John Camper Trophy. It's an annual friendly that Barcelona hosts at the Camp Nou, and Pumas getting the invite this year. That's pretty cool, Herc.
That's very cool. The last time Pumas was invited to one of these, it was against Real Madrid. Hugo Sanchez is Pumas against Real Madrid. Alejandro Castro, was it Alex Castro? He ended up scoring the goal. Israel Castro was the guy who scored the goal, 1-0 win. Make it 2-for-2 now.
Yeah. That's a sweet opportunity. Plus, like a little showcase event, too, right? It kind of comes at a weird time, August 7th, but you play well at Camp Nou, at Barcelona, maybe you open some eyes.
Gamper
you
attract Fest.
An offer, too.
Atlas was the first team that was rumored, but they couldn't because of the schedule.
Well, we always complain that Mexico doesn't export enough. Now they're exporting the whole all of Pumas to Spain. So there you have it. Parting shot. We showed you a couple of the goals. The Daytona Soccer Fest taking place over the 4th of July weekend. They had a couple games. America de Cali against Millonarios, a couple Colombian teams. That was on Saturday. The main event, you just saw Orlando racing Louisville on Sunday. Herc, some folks called it a golden idea. Others said it was kind of gimmicky. Where do you fall?
Have they seen American soccer? They're calling it gimmicky. Come on, man. Embrace this kind of thing. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, definitely. Chance the Rapper, Rao Alejandro. They got some big names there just for year one. Are you with me? A little Football America's road trip next year?
Dude, we got to go. Like, there should be a version of this show where we experience every type of soccer environment from Major League Soccer, NWSL, USL, down.
There you see lots of fun at Daytona Speedway. From Daytona Speedway to Old Trafford. Huh? Why? Women's Euros starts tomorrow. That's where the action is. England, the hosts and one of the tournament favorites, taking on Austria. Don't miss it. Coverage starts on ESPN2. All right, Hercules Gomez, that'll do it for the show. Any final thoughts?
Good luck tomorrow, man. You're hosting the Women's Euros. Good luck with that. I'm sure it'll be excellent coverage as usual, per usual here at ESPN. So have fun, man.
I will be hosting, not on Wednesday, that's Kay Murray, all K.
Well, you're doing, not England. Wednesday, I'm just saying, yes, you're doing the Euros. So just
my first chance will be Saturday. We got some huge games. But we will be back Thursday. I don't know what I can promote, but I know it'll be good.
This man said he's mad at the White House.
Sidney LaRue. Sidney LaRue, they just told me.
Yes. I'm mad at Joe Biden.
Look at Football America's bringing the interview heat.